Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What's going on, everyone? Taylor Kyles here for CLNS Media, coming at you with another episode of Pats Daily, brought to you by our good friends at Prize Picks, the exclusive daily fantasy partner of CLNS Media. Alex, we're back. It's finally here, man. We started this whole thing like mid-season once it was pretty clear, like, yeah, I think the draft is going to be pretty important because the Patriots are not doing very well. We started hopping on this. Obviously, I was always coming to you talking about like college football stuff, trying to understand it better because I was very ignorant to college football, and it was fun for you to get to talk about it. That's how this whole thing kind of got started. We've been keeping the train rolling. And then recently, obviously, we had the mock drafts for all quarterbacks, all receivers, all offensive linemen, all not those things, so we could get a decent idea of what the prospects would be like for the Patriots at their positions of need. But now it's finally draft week. The culmination of all our work is finally going to come together for our final mock draft. So, buddy, one, how you doing? And two, how you feeling, man? The hay's almost in the gosh darn barn.
It is. I finished my final pre-draft piece of writing earlier today. That'll be up tomorrow, 985thesportshub.com. And feels like I exhaled for the first time in a month. Obviously, I love the pre-draft process. I kind of had to explain to Felger today. I love the pre-draft process, but I love the draft itself. And so it's not, you know, I do look forward to it coming. We're finally going to get some answers to these questions, and that'll be a ton of fun. But, you know, for now, to wrap it up, I think, like you said, you know, Evan rolls his eyes at me with the college football stuff. A lot of people roll their eyes at me. You fully embraced it. And I know it was a little intimidating at first, but you've come a long way. It's really cool to see how much you've embraced the college football side, the nerd side of the pre-draft process. You know, and I got another friend to talk college football about with now next fall. I'm looking forward to that. But in the meantime, I think, you know, I'm here, I'm on the show, I'm the guest, but I think this is going to be more so me administering you your final exam as it comes to the pre-draft press prep stuff. And I mean, the board's going to be yours, and we're going to see, you know, I remember you saying to me probably back in like November, December, you're like, it's just so many players. Like, how do you do it? I was like, it just kind of happens. And as I'm sure you know now, it just kind of happens. And I'm interested to see just how much you've picked up.
And man, I've been learning a lot. Like, obviously it was my rookie year on the beat. There was so much flying at me, but that was definitely an area where you kind of helped calm me down and bring me along. So just not to get super mushy, but I appreciate everything you've done to help me get to this point. Now, before we get into the fun stuff and we break down how exactly this is going to go, we have some recent news with T. Higgins said that he did expect to be on the Bengals earlier. I think that was like 2 weeks ago. Now, Adam Schefter reported that he does want to trade. We've already kind of talked about this at certain points, but with Elliott Wolf's comments a week ago, about the fact the Patriots don't have that X receiver, the guy who went on the backside one-on-one in the draft coming tomorrow. If some trade happens, it's probably going to be either tomorrow or the day after. Are you feeling any differently about the Patriots possibly getting T. Higgins, or are you of the mindset of this is draft and develop team, draft and develop, let somebody else spend capital to get T. Higgins?
Well, first off, this is what, the third time T. Higgins has requested a trade in the last 2 months? Like, he requests a trade, then somebody reports he's not getting dealt. Then he requests a trade, then somebody reports he's not getting dealt. So take that for what it's worth. I still think they're draft and develop. I still think they want their guys for a number of reasons. They're bored. So I'm not getting my hopes up on that one. I think next year, assuming that they get decent play out of the quarterback, next year is the year you go out and you make that move.
I've been on the same page. It's like the Bengals criteria that they basically had, where they got their Joe Burrow. You know, obviously they had T. Higgins, but then they got Ja'Marr Chase, who was their true number one. I think that's the way to go.
I would do it. I'd make the trade. If I could trade 34 for T. Higgins or A.J. Brown, I'd do that right now. I don't think you're getting Brandon Ayuk for 34, and I'm not trading a first. But if I could trade 34 for A.J. Brown or T. Higgins, I would do that right now. I just don't think they're of the same mindset.
Yeah. That's basically what I was going to say. If they end up doing it, I'll be fine with it. No complaints here. But at the same time, if they really do want to just trust their scouting, trust their ability to find these guys at better values, I'm not going to poo-poo that either. All right, wrap up the T. Higgins talk. Let's get into the mock draft. And I'm telling you right now, if we don't get Drake May, we're just going to keep reloading. I think usually now the PFF simulator usually does give you Drake May at number three the first time around. But let's see what happens here. So three on the stage.
I've just run it three times, and it was Drake May twice and J.J. McCarthy once at 1 second. There we go. There's Shane.
There we go. All right, finally. So
I guess we start here. Are you sure it's Drake May? So, all right. Well, how do you want to approach this? Do you want to do the draft that you would do or the draft that you think they will do? Are you trying to do a projection or are you trying to do what you would do?
Let's make it. I already released my dream scenario mock draft on CLNS, so everybody check that out. I'll try to go more with what I think they're going to do. I'll probably, put my little spin on it, but I will try to go with what I think the Pats do.
A lot of noise about J.J. McCarthy in the last 24 hours. A lot of noise. Dan Lifshatz called it in the Sports Hub earlier today and said the dark betting markets suddenly this afternoon pumped a ton of money into J.J. McCarthy going third overall. Now, these are the same idiots that bet a bunch of money on Will Levis last year. But point notwithstanding, are you buying that hype? Or if you're trying to get this right, I called it your final exam. I don't know that we're actually going to go back through and grade it, but if we were to go back through and grade it, you want to get as many right as you can. Who are you taking here, Drake May or J.J. McCarthy?
I'm still confident it's Drake May if he's on the board, man. One, Ricky still thinks the Patriots are going to get Drake May, and I think
you're a big Ricky guy. That's right.
Ricky's been killing it. He announced Amon-Ra St. Brown way before any of the big heads, and he has been saying that there are J.J. McCarthy supporters in the building, which I completely understand. Like, Drake May, any conversation you have with him, you have to acknowledge the fact that there are significant inconsistencies in his game. The accuracy, as I started diving deeper into the tape, I thought that some of the, bad decision-making and the forced throws and turnover-worthy plays were kind of overhyped. Because you look at the stats, and his turnover-worthy play rate is one of the best in the nation last season. It's like 0.1% different than Jaden Daniels. But when you look at the plays where it is a turnover-worthy play, you understand, all right, I get why people are scared. Because it is, sometimes you just don't always need to throw while you're getting sacked. Or sometimes when you leave the pocket, you can throw it away. And he does those things, but it's still, you want to get the ugly out of his tape and iron out the inconsistencies. But I think, you hire this coaching staff with Alex Van Pelt, who's so good at developing quarterbacks and getting footwork under control and, all the hype surrounding him and what he can do. I don't see how you can, have that kind of supporting cast on your coaching staff and then not take someone with as immense a ceiling as Drake May has, which I like J.J. McCarthy. I understand why he's gotten into the first round and even the top 10 conversation. But I don't think he has nearly the upside of a Drake May, who I think can be a top 10 quarterback. Unlike, I don't think Jaden Daniels, frankly, has top 10 quarterback potential in the near future or even within his first contract. I don't think J.J. McCarthy has top 10 quarterback potential. I think Drake May does. So for me, if he's there and I'm the Patriots, especially knowing what Jerod Mayo said, where he said he doesn't have a ceiling, like, we know what they think about him. Right. So I'm pulling the trigger, man. I didn't even have to say all that, but you know what?
No, I'm with you. I've warmed up a little bit on J.J. McCarthy over this process, but I think ultimately he is a product of what's put around him. Mm-hmm. And look at what would be around him in New England.
And is ADP actually good, or did Aaron Rodgers just make him look good? Actually, Baker Mayfield had the best season of his career before he got to Tampa Bay with Alex Van Pelt. And Alex Van Pelt also did a pretty good job with Andy Dalton. And if you just look at last season with the Browns, they started like five different quarterbacks and it wasn't a complete dumpster fire, which I think says a lot. So yeah,
I would say Van Pelt is good. Rodgers made him look great. That's how I'd characterize it. But at the same time, it's been a while. Maybe he's learned some things. Since we're doing questions real quick before we take Drake May, this is an interesting one because these are two. I feel the same way I did about Levis last year. I pull my hair out. Why are we talking about Will Levis going over CJ Stroud? Why are we talking about him going over Anthony Richardson? And ultimately he didn't, even though he was the odds on favorite to be the second overall pick entering draft night. I don't know that. So the question is, do I think JJ McCarthy's a better prospect than Will Levis. Maybe marginally. I think they're two very different players. They win differently. The strengths and weaknesses are different.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to rate them out of 100, it would probably be very comparable grades. It's more so, what do you look for in a player?
Yeah.
Like, I think Levis probably has more of what I personally look for in a quarterback. But if you wanted to argue McCarthy does, like McCarthy, like I would be, all right, like you have different preferences than me, quarterback. We approach the game differently. I don't think it's a right or wrong thing. It's a philosophical thing. But I think they're both probably late first, early second round quarterbacks. That's the, kind of the level and that's obviously not going to be the case with McCarthy. It sounds like he's going to go in the top five if he doesn't go to the Patriots. But I think they're both like late first, early second quarterbacks. They're just different.
Yeah, it's a quarterback tax. Like, that's why these guys get taken where they get taken. I didn't study Will Levis. I don't want to pretend like I did. I knew about the weird personality. I knew he had a big arm, kind of, you know, had some things to get better in terms of decision-making. So, yeah, I'm not going to get too deep into the weeds on that. One more before we actually lock in the pick, because I think a lot of people are asking this question. Why don't we take Marvin? We need an elite weapon. We kind of touched on it earlier. Like, if you get your quarterback, one, that makes everyone better. And we've seen what Drake May can do with a bad supporting cast. When the pressure broke down, he was able to escape, whether it was running or whether it was scrambling or creating or any of those things. So we know, one, he might not even play this season, if we're being totally honest. So I think that if you do give him that 1 year to sit next year, if you're so bad, you know, and you have another top 10 pick or something like that, you'll be able to get a real number one receiver. I just think priority-wise, it makes more sense to get your quarterback of the future. And it's not even that Drake May is just this bundle of potential or like he's just all these traits. He's tough, he's a leader, and he's a guy who also clearly understands the game, like his scrambling instincts. The fact that, you know, Jaden Daniels and Michael Penix get a lot of flack for only attacking outside. JJ McCarthy can really physically only consistently hit downfield, the middle part of the field. Drake May is hitting everywhere. He's hitting corners. He's hitting seams. He's hitting – like, he can make all of those throws, and he knows when to do it based on the coverage. So, for me, I just don't think it makes a whole lot of sense. Yes, Marvin Harrison Jr. is an elite weapon, and he will go on to have a phenomenal career. But if Drake May turns out to be, you know, the top 10 quarterback that he can be, and you're sitting there with a decent quarterback in Marvin Harrison Jr., I think you're kind of kicking yourself because it's like, well, Drake May could have made all our, like, pretty good receivers, very good receivers, whereas Marvin Harrison Jr. can't really do – obviously, he makes your quarterback better because he's an accuracy eraser. He's going to get open, all those things. But the game is the game. Quarterback is more important than receiver, and I think at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to.
All right, so Drake May it is.
Yep.
And then you tell me, should I let this run to 34? Or do you think they trade up?
I think you let it run to 34. I do think there's going to be like a spree on offensive tackles, which is, you know, what was reported by Daniel Jeremiah. Yeah. Patrick Paul even said that he expects to be taken in the first round. People were saying he was going to be a third round pick. But I do still think just because like teams don't, they're not everybody needs a tackle. Like you need other positions. I think at least Kingsley Suamataia is going to be there.
All right. So we'll let it, and for what it's worth, I agree with you. Elliot Wolf made that comment the other day about we're a draft and develop team. The more picks we have, the better. Mm-hmm. That's not a guy that's about to trade up.
Exactly. All right. So we're looking at a tackle.
You got Jordan Morgan, Kingsley. Ahmeda G is also still here.
Let's move back a little bit, actually. Let's trade.
Oh, you want to move back? You don't even want to see who else on the board. You want to move back. Okay.
Yeah, because I'm getting tackle. Wait, actually, let's see what receivers are there just for fun. Let's see.
I saw Troy Franklin, Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman, Roman Wilson. Who the hell went?
Still not getting respect.
That there's all these receivers and all the edge guys went. All the defensive linemen went. Chop Robinson, Darius Robinson, Jerzon Newton. So, yeah, you got helped by a bunch of defensive linemen going in corners. Ennis Rakestra.
Not my fault. The board is the board.
Sometimes the board helps you out. Sometimes the board helps you out. So you've got the Raiders calling at 44. You've got the Saints calling at 45. You do have the Broncos calling at 76. You could probably get a future first. Actually, the Broncos even have a future first? They do. I don't think they're going to give that up. So you've got the Raiders calling at 44 and the Saints calling at 45. But the Saints' next pick after 45 is 150. The Raiders have 77.
Do you think we should try to stay in the 30s? Because I feel like Jordan Morgan, Kieran Omegaji, and Kingsley Suamataia are like the best tackles I think you can get. And if there is a run, I think that Omegaji could end up getting taken sooner than he probably should.
So here's one trade that I kind of screwed around with in my mock draft. I don't think I ended up using it, but I tried it. There's been a couple trades that look similar to this over the last 5 or 6 years. I wrote a thing on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's every trade from the last 6 years made with one of the Patriots currently assigned draft pick or a pick within like 3 or 4 spots of it. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, mirroring those, this isn't a, oh no, that's actually, you can't do it with the Chargers. It's too close back. You could probably do like 34 for 37 and 110. You add the one pick. You could also do with the Packers 41 and 91. If you want to move a little further back.
Feels risky.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm trying to think. The Chargers and 110. What would we have to give up to make it more suitable for them? Probably like,
I think that's probably it. You're gaining a pick to move back 3 spot. Maybe you have to give up like 231.
I'd be okay with that.
All right, you want to do that?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Deal is in.
All right, let's go. All right, now.
And ooh, none of the players you were talking about went.
Do we trade again?
Good. Still have the Raiders calling.
Oh my gosh. Let's see the Packers. Let's see the Packers.
I think the Packers are moving. It's 3 spots closer.
What do we think?
See, but now I don't think you can get the extra top 100 without giving up an extra asset.
You're right. You're right.
Because you know it's less valuable of a pick.
We got our asset. Let's just get our tackle. We don't have to play around. Let's get our tackle.
All right. And that's Kingsley or Jordan Morgan?
Kingsley, yeah. You talked me out of Jordan Morgan. I'm scared to take him now.
Look, I still think there's a chance they'll take him. Certainly. Yeah. Like, I just don't think, especially if it's over Kingsley, I don't think that's a good pick.
Yeah, I think
I can Jordan see it Morgan happening. I can definitely see it happening.
I feel like I still believe that Chukwuma Okorafor is going to be a good option at tackle. Like, is he going to be great? No. But I think, like, you've seen teams can be competitive with a solid left tackle. And I think that's what Kingsley – I'm sorry. I think that's what Chukes is, especially because that's where his game is best. So let's go with Kingsley.
I'll say this, too, just on the Jordan Morgan thing, because that was a fun back and forth we had. Yeah. I looked at that a little more. If that's the profile of the player you're looking for, I would much rather Brandon Coleman at 68 than Jordan Morgan at 34. Yeah. I think they're relatively comparable players. And you're more or less getting the same guy. So if it's Jordan Morgan and Jalen McMillan or Keon Coleman and Brendan, I just went with 2 Colemans, didn't I? I didn't even mean to do that. And Brandon Coleman or Troy Franklin and Brandon Coleman, right? There's much more value there to me personally. I don't know if you feel the same. I don't think we've talked about Brandon Coleman, but if that's the kind of player you want, I'd much rather Coleman later than Morgan.
I thought Coleman was projected to be a guard at first. I think early in the process, that's what I read. And I was like, all right, he's a guard. I'm not really going to consider it.
So I thought that too. And then I went back and looked. And like, I don't know if you read what Brugler has him as like the 8th best tackle in the draft.
Right. That was where I was like, oh, okay, maybe I need to reassess. And then I started looking even deeper because, again, I saw guard and it kind of, I was like, all right, no, he's out of the
question. It happens.
And it seems like he's a guy who could stick. And at that point, you're completely right with him and Jordan Morgan. If anything, I kind of like Brandon Coleman more, just with like, I think he brings a little more physicality and I do like his play style a lot.
Let me ask you this before we wrap it up here. Do you still want Kingsley or would you take Keon Coleman or Troy Franklin and try to get Brandon Coleman later? I remember you after week 1 of the college football season, you wanted Keon Coleman 3rd overall.
Yeah, I really did. I was excited. I still like Keon Coleman, but I think what Kingsley can be at his position is greater than what Keon. I think Keon's going to be I think he can be a special player. I think he can be. But Kingsley, I think, could also be like an elite left tackle. Dude, his bloodlines are crazy. Do you know his grandfather was drafted by the Patriots?
No, who is it?
It was, oh man, I wrote it in my mock too. I'll look it up real quick. But Brugler had it that his grandfather was drafted by the Patriots. Let me see.
All right. All right. So we're taking Kingsley 37 and then we're going to let it run?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to find out what his grandpa's name was. Junior IU.
I'm not familiar.
Yeah, me neither. But pretty crazy. And also his cousin just got up. Is he the highest paid tackle in the NFL right now?
I think it's something like that. Yeah. Or is the biggest, like most guaranteed money, something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I went on Felger Mass. I brought that up and they yelled at me. But
why?
who cares who his brother is? Tim Tebow's got a brother.
Or his cousin. But first of all, that entire family is crazy.
Yeah, I didn't present the take great. Well, because Maz said he doesn't like linemen from BYU. So I thought we were just throwing out objective things.
But also the fact that he's 21 years old and a captain. I know that sounds like nothing. But when you are as athletic and gifted as he is, and he's physical, and you clearly have leadership ability that young, like we're talking about a rebuilding franchise that wants those young guys who are going to usher you into the future. Kingsley seems like that guy.
All right. So before we pick at 68, I just want to remind you, as you plan ahead, you've done something very interesting here. Hmm. You've got these back-to-back picks at 103 and 110. If you want to move up from 103 into the back end of day three, keep that in the back of your mind. That might be an option.
That's a good point.
But you want to go receiver here?
Yeah.
So you've got Jermaine Burton, Tez Walker, Javon Baker, Johnny Wilson, Jalen McMillan, Malik Washington, Jamari Thrash.
I think Javon Baker's their guy. He's got experience at that X spot. Again, what they've been saying they need. He's a separator. He's explosive. His hands and the inconsistencies in his game are very frustrating because you'll see him literally just like have a ball thrown way behind him. He just spike catches it with one hand, but like he'll get one foot in. And there's little things where you know that early on in his career or maybe throughout his rookie season, he's going to have very frustrating moments. But it's also like, yeah, but if Tyquan Underwood is who you think he is, and he develops this guy and teaches him, you know, catch with his fingers together instead of bringing them, you know, all those little different nuances right. and keep both feet in, all that, then he turns into a very good player who has some serious upside and has already shown a ton of promise. So for me, I feel like if Javon Baker is here in the third round and Xavier Leggett is not, and you have your quarterback and tackle, I feel like it's a no-brainer pick.
So you don't even want to look at the other positions?
Let's do it just for the sake of it.
All right, so what other position, like there'd have to be a stud at what position for you to consider coming off Javon Baker here?
Probably defensive line.
Defensive line?
Yeah. All right. Because safety, I don't think, is a big enough position to need. Corner, I don't think that you already have Gonzalez. Like, you have one legitimately potentially elite corner. I don't think you're that. And there's so many like late round cornerbacks who I also really like. So
you've got Brandon Dorlus, Rook. I'm still working on this.
I was waiting to see if you were going to say it.
Orohoro. I saw somebody tweet the other day, like, his name keeps getting spelt wrong. It's like people are just throwing random R's and O's in there and hoping they get it right. I'm pretty sure it's Orohoro. Rook Orohoro, Xavier Thomas, Jalix Hunt, Austin Booker, Braylon Trice.
Okay. Austin Booker is someone I would want to trade back in the third round if he's potentially there.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll keep him in mind. He's my dog, man. I love what he could be. Again, when they had him in for a visit, I was like, let me just watch his highlights real quick, get an idea of his game so I can post, like, these are what his tools are. And it was like 7 clips. And I'm like, he's getting high quality wins and he's using a different move every single time. And then you look, he's like, he's got no experience and he's a young guy. He's really exciting. I feel like he's a great guy to build around who could turn into an every down player once he bulks up and gets more experience. So, but yeah, for this one, I don't like any of these guys more than I like. I love Christian Haynes. It'd be awesome, but it's just not a big enough position of need.
Too early for a guard.
Yeah, also that. So, yeah, pull the trigger on Javon Baker. Okay. And then let's see if we can get a trade back.
And then hang on, I'm going to pause it and try to figure out the values for you here. So I'm basically being like your Ernie Adams.
No one else I'd want, buddy.
So let's see here, 103. Well, me and Evan have always joked this. Oh, when you guys are running the team, everybody's like, oh, like Evan can do this and blah, 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 whatever. I'm like, no, like Evan's – like I'm not coach or GM. I'm just in the background doing goofy shit. That's it. So the total value of those picks is 162. So let's see here. Can that get you to like 80? So you should be able to get Austin Booker at 80.
Yeah.
This is why you don't do math live on the air. No, you're going to need to go a little lower than that.
I'm willing to gamble. There's good enough defensive linemen.
I slowed it down, so we're going to let the board play. Oh, so all right. If you were to give up, would you give up like a future six?
Yeah, for sure.
Just 103 and 110. All right. Yeah. So let's see how close we can get to like 85. Remember, there were a couple edge rushers on the board ahead of him. There goes one Xavier Thomas. I know Dorlis is still on the board. There goes Jalix Hunt. All right, we're getting down here. You want to keep letting
it. Is Rook still there? Those are my two guys where if I can get one of them, I'm happy.
He went.
Oh, he went. Yeah, all right, let's start seeing if we can trade.
All right, so you're looking at, well, it's saying they'll do this, 84 for 103 and 110. You have a big gap. You're going to go about 40 picks without a pick.
Oh, man. I don't think I want to do that.
All right, so we'll let it run a little bit more.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, Austin Booker went.
Thanks, Texans. Of course. It's always the Texans who get the play. It's either the Texans or the Ravens. Every single year get at least three players who I was like pounding the table for in the pre-draft process. Every freaking year.
All right, so all right, here we are at 103.
Ooh. Oh, I thought that was – never mind. I thought that was somebody else. All right. What's the board looking like?
Well, if you want the edge guy or the defense lineman, Brennan Jackson is still here. Muhammad Kamara is still here. Now, again, we're trying to do what they would do.
Yeah.
I don't really think they're going to draft Tavondre Sweat, but boy, if they were going to, this would be tremendous, tremendous value.
It would be, but they're not going to. I think this is where they go either defensive line or running back.
Okay. Dwayne Carter is a good player. I don't know how much you've studied him. I really like him. Kind of, you know, Daniel Aquale in a contract year, similar kind of player. If you want to go running back, Tyrone Tracy, Blake Watson, Isaiah Davis, Braylon Allen, Audric Estime, ton of fun names at running back here.
I haven't studied a ton of running backs, so you tell me who you think would be the best fit and why.
Well, so, okay, what kind of player do you want? Do you think they're going to go back to early down, passing down? Do you think they're going to just split running back reps by series instead of by situation? And then on top of that, are you trying to get Ramondre Stevenson's replacement? Like, all right, he's in a contract year. We're not going to pay him. We need a new top two back to pair with Antonio Gibson, even if he's not top two this year. Or are you just trying to get somebody to beat out Kevin Strong as the third back in the rotation?
I think Ramondre is an extension candidate.
Okay.
So I would say somewhere between a potential replacement for Ramondre, like if he gets hurt this year and you're thinking, all right, we have to move on. And then you also want a guy who can step. So like, again, a guy who maybe can replace him, but also is markedly better than Kevin Harris, who this guy could be your every down back if Ramondre had to miss time.
I'll tell you, you got a ton of options here. If that's what you want.
Rendo is really interesting. I feel like he's going to be available in the fifth though.
Right. So I would wait then. If you're not trying to get Ramondre Stevenson's replacement outright, you don't need to take a running back here. Remember, you have 103 and 110.
Let's look at corners and defensive linemen.
All right. A lot of good corners. Yeah. Jerry Jones, Chris Abrams-Trey, Jarvis Brownlee, Shaw Wade-Smith, Cam Hart is still here at corner.
I feel like guys are going to be around. So let's look at defensive line. I think Michael Hall Jr.
You like Michael Hall?
Yeah.
All right. So Michael Hall Jr. at tackle, Mekhi Wingo, Mason Smith. On the edge, you've got Brennan Jackson. I saw Mo Kamara. Gabriel Murphy's an interesting name. Nelson Caesar. What do you think?
These are guys I'd probably want more in the fifth as well. I think that probably be a better value for them. So who would you choose between Michael Hall and Dwayne Carter?
Ooh. Let me just remind myself how big Hall is. Mm. Yeah, he's small, man. He's really small. Are you trying to get like the next Dietrich Wise? Excuse me. The next Dietrich Wise or the next Daniel? Not even Dietrich Wise. It's like a backup. I don't know. Are you trying to get like the next backup end or the next backup tackle? The other thing you could do, you have the Ravens, the Bengals, and the Broncos calling.
Whatever is the best value, like whoever's got a pick that's closest.
So you could move down 10 spots and pick up a fifth.
Let's do that.
All right.
There's enough guys I like on the board. Let's see where it falls.
I think that, look, the more trade downs you make, frankly, the more realistic I think it is, if we're being honest.
Yep, 100%.
And I don't think any of the guys we just talked about went.
All right, let's check the trade market again. Because now I'm starting to think I'm leaning more Dwayne Carter.
Oh, you got Packers. The Packers at 126. You have another pick at 113. I would say this. If you like Dwayne Carter here, take him. And if you really want to make a trade, you trade at 113. There's no, if you like a player in this spot, it doesn't make sense to trade this pick because you can get whatever you get for 110, you'll get for 113.
How comfortable are you with, or what do you know about Mekhi Wingo? I'm not familiar with him.
Let me just read. I get him and Mason Smith mixed up. So let me make sure I'm on the right guy. Yeah. So he's, he plays quicker than his size. He's not big, but he's bigger. Mm-hmm. Played tackle in college, probably more of an end for the Patriots. Lawrence guy-ish.
Yeah.
In terms of play style. I don't know that he's that good. The other thing I'll say about Carter, this is a really good point. 3-year team captain.
That's true. He is also older, though. That's part of it.
I think the Patriots are all in on that leadership thing.
Yeah, no, that's part of the reason why. I wanted to get a better feel just to make sure, because I like Carter. I want to make sure that there's not a potentially better player that I'm just not familiar with. Lock it in.
I mean, I think they're comp. I think T'Vondre Sweat, outstanding issues aside.
But Carter's a legit 300 pounds, right? Also?
Yeah, I think he's like 301, 302. He's 305. He's just over. I mean, he's going to put 10 pounds on in the NFL. He'll probably play at 315, somewhere around there. But he's the kind of player Christian Barmore is stylistically, but he's never going to be Christian Barmore. He's just not that explosive. Mm-hmm. But we've seen how valuable a guy like Daniel Aquali is, a guy like Jeremiah Farms is, both in contract years, as kind of that backup to Barmore. Or maybe you strike gold with Carter and he can't work it out with Barmore. Oh, well, you have a guy. His skill set makes a ton of sense. His background, his makeup makes a ton of sense. You're not getting a nose tackle. Somebody brought up Godshaw in the chat. You're not getting a nose tackle. There's not a ton of nose tackles in this draft. But Carter's a player, if we're talking specifically about who in this draft looks like a Patriots fit, Dwayne Carter.
And I think more than Devon Godshaw, I think Devon Godshaw is going to get extended. I think he's someone, one, he does his job perfectly. Like, you do need a good nose tackle in their scheme, and he does that. But I also think that, like, with Armon Watts, who's on a one-year deal, I think they like that kind of role where you are stout against the run and can still take up space, but you have more pass rush upside than, like, a Lawrence guy. And I feel like Dwayne Carter fits that perfectly. So let's lock him in. Let's do it.
All right, Dwayne Carter from a very good, very good Duke defense. Underrated all year. Love that Duke defense.
All right, now I'm going to mull this one over if we want to trade or stay and pick. But before I do, quick word from our friends at Prize Picks. Be right back.
Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball and hockey entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. I personally love Prize Picks because they're super easy to use, easy to navigate, and they offer injury insurance, so your entries stay live even if one of your players gets injured. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
All right, so let's look at the board and see what we got options-wise. If there's anybody like I'm in love with or if I'm more open to seeing where he
falls. So, top of the board, Tyrone Tracy, Jared Wiley, Cam Kitchens. Brennan Jackson. You want to double up a tackle. All the usual guys are there. Brendan Rice is still here. You want to double up at receiver.
I'm kind of off on Brendan Rice, to be honest. Kitchens stands out to me.
You took Devon Baker. That's a ton of overlap.
Yeah, right. I like Kitchens here, to be honest. We got our defensive lineman.
Yep.
We got we could use an edge. Let's see what we got for edges, actually. I feel
edge like is Brennan Jackson, Mo Kamara, Gabriel Murphy is the top of the board.
I feel like I'd bet on one of those guys being available in the fifth.
Okay. Yeah. I think most of the corners, you liked some of the corners that were there. Yeah, Chris Abrams, Drain, Jarvis Brownlee, Shaw Smith, Cam Hart, DJ James.
Who's the guy that they just had in from Colorado State? Chig Anusim.
Oh, I don't even think he's in the simulator. He's undrafted guy.
I saw he was a seventh rounder in Brugger's The Beast. I watched his tape. He looks like a perfect Patriots fit, honestly.
NFL teams are petrified of corners without production in the draft.
That's fair. Okay, that's a good point.
Ennis Rakestra should be in the conversation to be a top 20 pick, but he has one career interception in college and an injury history, so that drops him too. But yeah.
That's fair. And then tight ends, I feel like we can get somebody like, let's see.
None of them have gone. Jared Wiley, Theo Johnson, Jaheim Bell, Dalen Holker, Tip Raymond, McLachlan. And they're all still here.
Let's see what the trade offers are. If there's one where I could still stay within like 10 picks, then I'll think about it.
So 10 might be a stretch. This would be in play. 131 and 159 for 113. Keep talking about, I'm going to say, keep talking about a lot of these guys. I think they'll be there in the fifth. You're now going to have 3 5th round picks. You'll have a late fourth and 3 5ths.
And safety is not a huge position to need, so let's do that.
All right. Moving down.
I do like Kitchens, though, but still, I think that you're expecting Mapu to be that guy and be your third safety, although they do need depth there. I don't think Hawkins is really going to be a guy you expect to play much.
Kitchens went to the Steelers, so he gets to learn from Minka. Sione Vaki still here, if you want to go safety still.
I do feel like Miles Bryant type, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Shaw Wade Smith, Cam Harder still here.
Cam Harder might be a great.
That edge group kind of went.
Yeah. But Gabe Davis is still there, or Gabe Murphy's still
Murphy,
there.
Gabriel Murphy is still. I like Gabe Murphy. And this is an old Belichick trick they used to do. Not like trick, but tendency. I don't know how much it'll stay, but I remember there was a really good linebacker from Wyoming. He was like a projected first round pick. And when the Patriots were watching him, they noticed this other guy, Cash Maluia. And they were like, everybody was so focused on was so focused on player A. Player B's right there and they're all missing him. So, and there's other examples of that where like maybe there's a great running back and they take his spell back, or there's a really good outside receiver and they take the slot receiver, you know, one edge rusher is dominant, so they take the other guy. Anfernee Jennings was an example of that. I don't remember who he was playing opposite at Alabama that year, but
did that happen with Uche? Was he with Rashawn Gary?
Yeah. Okay. So Gabriel Murphy, everybody's watching Leetu Latu. And look, you're not drafting Gabriel Murphy to be your lead rusher. You're drafting Gabriel Murphy to be your complimentary rusher to Matthew Judon. So you watch what he did at UCLA. He won as a complimentary rusher.
Yeah.
And that's what he's going to be in your system. This pick, and I think they met with him, makes a ton of sense to me.
Yeah. He's got really good upside too. Like his thing is discipline. I noticed like when I was watching him against, I think it was Oregon State, he was just flying up the field. And I think, again, because you don't expect him to be the guy and you're probably just going to use him on pass rush situations, and he's got the versatility where he can line up inside, which is huge for them. So, yeah, I think Gabriel Murphy makes the most sense here because there's other corners you can get later, but the edge group, I feel like he's the best guy available right now. And it's good. The position's pretty good too.
And you're back on the board with in 6 picks.
Right.
And no corners went. So here we go. First of 5th round picks.
Let's see. Should we get a run? All right, so now for me, it's running back or cornerback.
Okay, so Shaw Wade Smith, Cam Hart.
Cam Hart, ooh, that's tough to say no to. I love Chow, and I love Cam.
So what if I told you, like, Cam Hart probably won't be on the board, and this is a respecting the board thing?
That's fair, yeah. That's
the running back group did start to go. I will say that. Garendo's still here. Lauby's still here. You know I love me some Dylan Johnson.
You know I do, too.
How Will Shipley, Audric Estime.
We have 2 5ths?
Three. You have 137, 159, 165, 180, 193. You have 5 picks in the span of about 60 slots here.
Let's go. Let me see the corners one more time. I'm thinking.
Also, if you want to double up a tackle, None of the day three tackles have gone. If you want to double up a tackle,
I want to wait for Travis Glover in the seventh.
Okay, is he in the simulator?
I believe. I don't think he is.
All right, you might have to wait for Anum Donk or Frank Crum, but Shawade Smith still here. Cam Hart.
Shaw. I keep saying Shaw. Josh Newton. Is he really going to be around this late?
He's tough to tell. I don't think so, but like I wouldn't be super surprised. Just because the guys who are breakout stars and then come out of the draft a year after that are always really, really tough to grade.
Patriots, if they still have that philosophy where it's like, yeah, but if you have a good year or like you show that promise, they don't really care when it happens.
They used to love the
five stars that fell off.
Or just the year removed guy.
Yeah.
Their entire 2021 draft outside of Mac Jones is like all year removed guys. Right. Like all those guys broke out in 2019. Jalen Simpson's also still here. They bury him as like a late ranked safety.
Malik Mustafa. I feel like he's not going to be here.
He's a box safety. Do they need him?
Yeah, that's true. That's why I was like Sione Vaki. I like him and I like the dual threat ability and everything. But with the skill set, I'm like, he's pretty much just Miles Bryant. And I feel like they have so many of those, I feel like slot corner is still going to be a need for them. I don't really believe that Marcus Jones is going to be healthy, but I'm kind of losing the script here. Is there a running back that you really love?
I really like Dylan Johnson, but I don't think you need to take him here.
Yeah. So let's take Shaw Smith Wade.
All right. Shaw Smith Wade it is. And then it's 37, 47, 50, 22 picks.
Okay.
Audric Estime went next. If you really just want that third back, that change of pace back, that, you know, all right, like
change of pace with upside.
So I think Audric Estime is just a slightly better Kevin Harris.
Okay, so not really missing anything there.
No, but there's an argument to be made that that's the player they should be looking for.
Yeah, but let's see what is left. If like Grendo is still around.
So Grendo and Dylan Johnson are both still here.
Garendo. I want to go with the upside in the fifth round.
You are back on the board in six picks. You want to go running back here, get it done?
Let's look at the whole board, but if I don't love anybody else, I'm taking Garendo.
All right. You've got tight ends are starting to go a little bit. Tip Raymond, AJ Barner.
So I'll take a tight end with the next pick. Okay. But let's just look at the whole board just so tackle.
Javon Foster still here. I know you like him.
Yeah. I feel like he's not going to be around, though. Zach Zinter.
Zach Zinter is a very, very, very interesting pick here.
Let's go
Zinter. We'll look at the rest of the board.
Hang on. I kind of want to go Zinter now, to be honest with you. He's got tackle and guard flexibility. That's huge.
I think he has five position flexibility, frankly.
Oh, dude. How do we not? Zinter. I don't even care. Take Zinter. Or right. Do you think you can get him later? Poulter.
This is late. He's the fifth round is where the league loves to take these guys. It's where the Patriots took Cam McGrone a couple years ago.
Zinter, and then we take whichever running back. I got excited. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. I was just saying, like, this is about where the Patriots took Cam McGrone a few years ago. This is where these guys generally go.
So they take their Michigan men. All right.
So the question is, do you want the running back? You're back on the board in 15 picks. Do you want the running back here or the tight end here? Because both are starting to get a little thin.
This will be awesome.
Tip Raymond, AJ Barner, Tanner McLaughlin. I just want to remind you, are you trying to do what they're going to do, right? We're projecting them.
Yes, but also
I think you've done a good job of, but
yeah.
Don't want to lose the script.
It's tough because they're both positions where they really need long-term depth.
Yep.
I just think... Let me see what running backs are available again. Because I'm thinking Tanner McLaughlin here. It's like that guy who gives you explosiveness and can play in line, but needs to probably...
If you want McLaughlin, I think you'll get McLaughlin at 180.
But like in real life, I don't think he's going to go
that way. Cody Schrader, Isaac Garendo, Dylan Lauby, Dylan Johnson, Amani Bailey.
Let's get our tight end. I think our running back's still going to be here.
So you want McLaughlin?
Yes. Although I love Tip. But I'm going with like someone who gives you more explosiveness.
Okay. And the Patriots, I think, recently met with him, right?
Yeah, that was announced. Justin Mello mentioned it yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, I knew that was recent. And pretty much all the running backs fell. The only one who went was
Garendo.
Jaden Sheridan, who's I don't think he's worth this. I have a pick.
Garendo.
So you like Garendo better than Dylan Johnson and Dylan Laube?
I just like the upside better, and I think Lauby's skill set overlaps with Antonio Gibson. I love Lauby. Gibson was kind of like you got to close the door because they overlap too much.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, and you got
to mess up that explosiveness from Garendo.
So you do have one pick left, but it is kind of a prime spot to move down if you want to get a couple more players. I know you said you want to double up at tackle.
What are we thinking?
So you've got. Yeah, you've got a couple options. You could do 218, you could do 193 for 218 and 220. Yeah, it's probably your best.
Let's see who's on the board.
Okay. At tackle, it's Ethan Driscoll, Laumea from Utah is more of a guard. Nathan Thomas, who I think the Patriots just met with. Isn't he a tight end?
Nathan Thomas, did they?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's a tight end.
Wait, let me check.
There's a guy from Louisiana.
Yeah, wait. Cajun. That was... No, Neil Johnson.
Neil Johnson. Very generic. Fake
that's
names.
That's fair. Yeah, that's totally fair. I don't really want to tackle. We got center. I feel like we got our double up at offensive line. We got our...
Okay. So do you want an interior offensive lineman then?
No, because I think that's still Zinter. Actually, I do want to trade because I'd like to get another receiver as well.
Okay, so I think 218, 228 is probably your best bet here.
Yeah, let's do it. I think Wolf would be very proud of us.
And at that point, here's the thing too. The UDFA market in the last 4 or 5 years has exploded. And it's at the point now where UDFAs are making more than 6th and 7th round picks because teams essentially have to recruit these guys and pay these guys. So what you're seeing now, some teams, the Patriots did this last year, the hit rate for a 5th round pick and a 7th round pick is very comparable. They'll trade down in the 5th or 6th round, load up on 7ths, and you're essentially getting ahead of your UDFA shopping here is what you're doing. So a trade like that, and the Ravens are a team who's more generally more aggressive in the draft, don't have as many roster spots, like, That kind of trade, especially when and we made a couple moves, so it didn't look like this, but 180, 193 are super close together. Turning one of those picks into multiple 7ths totally tracks with what I think the Patriots are going to try to do. I'd be very surprised if they pick at both 180 and 193. Did just miss Dylan Johnson here, not that you needed him at 217.
AJ Barner is like staring us in the face. Oh, Milton.
Joe Milton is there.
But AJ Barner could be your actual Y on like running in on rundowns. That's what I'm
okay. Thinking. So you could double up at tight end.
And then receiver, let's see what we got. Is there a position that we haven't addressed that still want to need? Safety, I guess, but like
we didn't even really all right. So we got Drake May, Kingsley, Javon Baker.
It's my dream top three.
Dwayne Carter, Gabriel Murphy, Shaw Wade Smith, Zach Zinter, Tanner McLaughlin, and Isaac Garendo.
This is really good. All right, let's just see what safeties are here so we can at least say that we addressed. But AJ Barner, I feel like, is great value here.
James Williams, they're going to be connected. That's Miami. That's Alonzo Highsmith. You'd think he might want one of his guys.
What's his
pretty
deal?
Good value for him. I mean, he's a box safety. Like, he kind of overlaps a bit with the guys they already have. I will say he's a bigger guy, 6'5", 215. I will say this. At this point in the draft,
you have to consider
special teams. I don't love him as an NFL safety, I'll be honest. He'd be great in kick return. He'd be great.
But also, you could say the same for A.J. Barner in terms of, like, as a blocker.
Yeah, you could. Well, you have two picks here. Boom, boom.
So I think, like, especially for receiver, I love Bub Means, and that's what I would like. But now, oh my God, Tony Starks, you literally hit the nail on the head. Tajon Palmer is like the guy where if they end up getting an undrafted receiver, that's who I want them to get, or if they miss out on Bub Means. So let's go AJ Barner and then James Williams and see if we can lock it up.
Okay. And is he going to fall? Oh,
are you kidding? Of course it's Cleveland too. Oh, that's annoying. I'm not mad though. I'm not, because AJ Barner is a guy who is going to play offense for you. James Williams probably isn't going to play. Jalen Simpson would. Oh, Mark Perry.
Mark Perry's in. This is kind of. I don't think with either of them, it's like respecting the board.
Okay.
Personally. Okay. You could go. They did meet with Nathaniel Watson. I think he makes some sense here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's really fast.
Yeah. Good tackler.
Yeah. Let's just see who else is here just to, you know, just to.
All right. Well, if you want to double up a receiver, Bub Means still on the board.
Yeah.
You want to double up.
You can also get special teamers in free agency. Like,
right. If you want to double up a tackle, there's still some options. Donovan Jennings, I know they met with. I think they met with Delmar Glaze.
Did
kind of like a hybrid tackle guard. I think they did.
He's going to the Senior Bowl, so he's going to be on the radar.
Yeah, you want to go true inside guy, Andrew Rame, Kingsley Egukun is here, Leighton Robinson, who's a bit of a tweener tackle guard. Justin Rogers, if you want that nose tackle, let me get the size on him, 6'3", 346.
Ooh, big boy.
That's kind of all he is. He's just going to be big. But if you want a big guy, he's a big guy.
The draft every single year. So
yeah. Eric Watts from UConn is still here on the edge. If you like him,
he was a freak athlete, right? He like blew up the combine.
Yeah.
Let's go, Bub. Let's go, Bub. Let's end it on a high note. We get our two X receivers.
Yeah, it would have been nice with James Williams though. But
no, of course, it was one pick before from Elliott Wolf's old
naturally,
team.
Naturally, right?
So poetic. The Miami safety went to the Browns. So you got the Highsmith connection. You got the Wolf connection. I also didn't know that Wolf went to Miami. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. All right. So you got. As it loads here. Give me a second.
Wonder what our grade
Drake is. May, Kingsley Suamatia, Javon Baker, Dwayne Carter, Gabriel Murphy, Shaw Wade Smith, Zach Zinter, Tanner McLachlan, Isaac Garendo, AJ Barner, and Bub Means. You got a B+.
So how do you think we could have done better?
If it were me, I might have been a little, I probably would have got, as much as I like Dwayne Carter, I probably would have gone corner there.
Okay.
And maybe you get, you know, I look at it now. Maybe Means no Zach Zinter, who I do like, but sticking at 110, 113 and going like Dwayne Carter and Cam Hart, I think would have been very interesting. I will say you made 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 picks. It's a very deep draft.
Yeah.
Which I think is, you know, like that's super realistic. Yeah. That's super realistic. I think the trades you nailed. I might have gotten a little more aggressive at corner. That's the one position. I probably wouldn't have doubled up at tight end. I probably would have gone James Williams at 218. But I mean, overall, in terms of like realism, there's a lot here to like. You hit on big positions of need. You made multiple picks. I think you hammered that whole leadership captain, you know, guy in the room sort of thing, which I think is going to be big. And the closer we get to it, honestly, I can't believe I wasn't talking about Zach Zinter to the Patriots more. I've taken him in a couple of mocks now, the last couple of weeks, live mocks on 98.5thesportshub.com. We should have been talking a lot more about Zach Zinter this whole time, probably. Yeah. We really should have been.
To give us a reason to talk about him a lot more.
Well, I mean, we'll talk about him briefly and then not for a year and then a lot more this time next year. Right?
Is he going to have to miss this season?
He says he's going to be ready for camp. I wonder if they just give him the red shirt, because if he's going to need to build a strength back up and all that anyway, you know, you start him on NFI, and then if you have to activate him during the year, you do. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. That's just. Yeah.
But this could end up being like Mike and Wenu level value, where obviously, and Wenu didn't start from day one. He contributed from day one.
He did start from. Oh, you're right. He didn't start that.
He's a tight end in the rest of the packages, right?
No, he started like Trent Brown got hurt like the third snap of that game, and they put Michael and Wenu in after he didn't play one snap of tackle in training camp. Hadn't lined up a tackle since high school. They threw him in there, and he was awesome. So, I like Zinter. I really do.
Remember that? This is crazy. Remember when Brian Stork had to play left tackle, and I don't think he'd ever played left tackle in his life?
I mean, do you remember when they were minutes away from James Ferentz lining up his left tackle against good Von Miller.
Dude, that was so scary. I was genuinely that would have been bad.
That would have been tough.
All right. I'm happy with this. I think we're and I get it. I the thing is with AJ, like I think he plays immediately. I think Tanner needs to get bigger and is probably more your like move tight end, where like, you know, Austin Hooper also isn't a roster lock, to be totally honest. Like
I don't think so.
Like AJ Barner can be your inline wide tight end, your blocker and all that, you know, maybe mix him in with Hunter Henry if he's not ready for a full role like that. Tanner McLaughlin, I think, can develop into your kind of Hunter Henry type, where he's got some flexibility. He's a good athlete. He's a great security blanket. If he gets bigger, I think he can be a really solid Hunter Henry level Y, where at his best, like Henry was never dominant, but he was effective. He was good at combos. He'd get to the second level, and he still does a decent job at that. That was the only reason I didn't go James Williams. It's also, where's James Williams going to play? It's going to be Duggar and Peppers down.
I think just special teams. I think he's going to be right there with Brendan Schooler.
Right. And I think that guy's going to be undrafted if you want a special team that badly. So, and
I'll say this one other thing here that's very interesting. ACC, Big 12, Big 12, ACC, Pac 12, Pac 12, Big 10, Pac 12, AAC, Big 10, ACC. You did not draft a single SEC player.
Oh, man. I didn't even realize that.
I mean, ultimately, it doesn't matter, but it's just funny how that works out.
Were there any SEC players available that you think we maybe should have taken instead?
Yeah, Chris, I mean, at least for debate, you know, Chris Abrams-Strain at 110. I'm trying to remember who the receivers were on the board at 68, if there were any of the SEC players there. Who else? No, not Dylan. Was there an SEC running? I don't remember. I'm sure there were. It's the SEC, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just interesting how that worked out.
Cody Schrader.
Here's the thing. Most of the top SEC prospects in this draft are on defense.
Right.
So there's just naturally less of them are going to end up talked about for the Patriots.
Yeah. All right. We killed it. We're going to post this on Twitter afterwards.
I just sent it to you, so you should have it. Perfect.
Buddy, this has been a great time. Now, we are going to take a break. I have been exhausting Alex with this extra workload, although it has been a ton of fun. We're going to take a quick break when it comes to this because there's not going to be a whole lot of college football and draft content to talk about. We're kind of going to be moving into the actual season, but this was tremendous.
Well, we'll see. If they drop the NCAA Football 25 trailer, you're the only person who's going to let me come on and do a breakdown. So
I will be more than happy to do that. You know, we're going to have that locked in. But, buddy, until we find a new reason to get you back on regularly, obviously when the college football season starts, we'll do that, but all that stuff. But so much fun. Thank you for doing this. Now let the people know. They already know where they can find you, hopefully by now, but if you want to, feel free to remind them and let them know what great stuff you got coming before the draft kicks off.
Well, I'll let them know this actually, because this just got finalized today. Tomorrow for the, so everybody always asks me during the draft, like, are you going to do a meet and greet? Are you going to be anywhere public? Are you going to be streaming live? Usually I'm doing none of those things because I have to be writing. And usually like I can't be on my station because there's a playoff game on, Bruins or Celtics.
Right.
Not the case this year. Luckily, first time that's happened. So tomorrow night, 7 p.m. live, Splitsville at Patriots Place, myself, Joe Murray, 98.5 The Night Show all night. We'll be there. We'll be there broadcasting live. So people come by, happy to chat during the commercials. I will have to leave for like an hour whenever Elliot Wolf and Gerard Mayo do their pressers. But Splitsville, Patriots Place, 7 o'clock, live show. Come on by. Hoping to see you guys there.
Awesome. That'll be fun, buddy. Once again, thank you so much. And yes, you are absolutely right. Barth has
almost there. Almost there. We got to get through Sunday morning. I'll have the last episode, the season finale of Sunday kickoff, 8 to 10 a.m., 98.5 The Sports Hub, and then I'll come home and sleep for about 12 hours.
Awesome. All right, we're almost there, buddy, but thank you so much again. This has been a blast, and thank you all for watching and supporting this series. It's been a ton of fun. We'll be back at it once things pick back up, but until then, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and we will see you next time. Peace, y'all. Bye.